Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the awakening. I am V, the preacher. This is a day that the Most High has made. Let's go before our Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if not the temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, sustain us, walk with us, fortify us, increase our faith, heal us through your word. We thank you for this Shabbat. It's in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach we pray. Hallelujah. This lesson is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the cultural identity of the original Eber Yasharah, one asleep mind at a time. And we are living in the times of tribulation, but the awakening is very real and true. We're not going to be on before you long today. This lesson will be from the 12 patriarchs, the testaments of the 12 patriarchs. And we're going to read from the book of Levi. And from the book of Levi, we'll just do a little bit of a treatise on the chapter, because I think it's pretty insightful about the priesthood. And we've been talking a lot about the order of Melchizedek, but the Levitical priesthood, we're going to find out that it's something that was ordained to be forever. And so that means that they just, as the Levitical priesthood, they actually just went right into the order of Melchizedek, that priesthood too. And so we know that our Messiah sprang from the tribe of Judah. And we see in the book that Judah was the fourth son. Levi was the third son of Jacob of Israel, of the 12 patriarchs. With that being said, let's go ahead. Let's get into this. And we'll start from the second chapter. Start from the second chapter. Give me 1 second, please. Trying to load up another platform and it's not loading. All right, let's just continue right here. Levi was born in Haran, and I came with my father to Shechem. And I was young, about 20 years of age, when with Simeon I wrote vengeance on Hamor for our sister Dinah. And when I was feeding the flocks in Abel Maul, the spirit of understanding of the Lord came upon me, and I saw all men corrupting their way, and that unrighteousness had built for itself walls, and lawlessness sat upon towers. This is key that you'll see what he saw in the spirit, that unrighteousness had built itself up on walls, and lawlessness sat upon towers. And we're living in a time of lawlessness now, where no one wants to keep the commandments, especially those that abide in Christianity. Verse 4, and I was grieving for the race of the sons of men, and I prayed to the Most High that I might be saved. I think that's a prayer that we should all be praying in this hour and the times that we're living in, because we're actually coming up against a lot. Verse 5, then there fell upon me a sleep, and I beheld a high mountain, and I was upon it. And behold, the heavens were opened, and an angel of Yah said to me, Levi, enter. And I entered from the first heaven, and I saw there a great sea hanging. And further I saw a second heaven, far brighter and more brilliant, for there was a boundless height also therein. And I said to the angel, why is this so? And the angel said to me, marvel not at this, for thou shalt see another heaven, more brilliant and incomparable. And when thou hast ascended thither, thou shalt stand near the Most High, and shall be his minister, and shall declare his mysteries to men, and shall proclaim concerning him that shall redeem Israel. Jacob, Israel will be redeemed. And as a Levitical priest, he was going to be the minister of the Most High to our people. The Most High has a set chosen people. Let's continue to read. Verse 11, and by thee and Judah shall the Most High appear among men. And by thee and Judah. The reason it was said this way is because Levi was the priest, but our Messiah was going to come through the lineage of Judah and become a priest in the order of Melchizedek and take us all back into the priesthood. We hear that in the book of Hebrews. We come to understand that. Verse 12, and from the Lord's portion shall be thy life, and he shall be thy field and vineyard, and fruits, gold and silver. Hear therefore regarding the heavens which have been shown to thee. The lost is for this cause gloomy unto thee, in that it beholds all the unrighteous deeds of men, and it has fire and snow and ice made ready for the day of judgment. In the righteous judgment of Yah, for in it are all the spirits of the retributions for vengeance on man. There are things put to store for the judgment day to deal with men who have been living in sin and renouncing the Most High. Verse 3, and in the second are the hosts of the armies, which are ordained for the day of judgment to work vengeance on the spirits of deceit and of Belial, which is representing the devil. And above them are the holy ones. He's talking about the different spheres of heaven and different places where things are reserved. And in the highest of all, the seventh sphere and up, is the great glory far above all holiness. In the heaven next to it are the archangels who minister and make propitiations to the Most High for all the sins of ignorance of the righteous. Let me point this one out again. Let me read it slowly so you'll hear this. In the heaven next to it are the archangels, and listen to what they do, who minister and make propitiations to the Most High for all the sins of ignorance of the righteous. What is that talking about? It's talking about the fact that a lot of people weren't in this truth back in the day, your forefathers, your grandmother, your father, and there are angels that are interceding on behalf of those that did not have knowledge of the seriousness of not keeping the laws in the Sabbath. There's intercession being made on their part because they still lived righteous, because the commandments, we know to do right within our core. And we know when we should be obedient to righteousness. And it's not one of you that can't say you didn't have a praying grandmother who understood what it meant to be right, dress right, act right, speak right, do right. There are angels that interceded on their behalf because they're still Israel. And so this should be a comforting scripture for those who say, well, my parents left, they weren't in the truth. And don't think you're all that because you're in the truth. We got people that know who they are as a people, still aren't living right, and still, and when you willfully sin, that can bring you up under serious judgment. So I want to make that clear. Archangels are interceding on behalf of the ignorance of the righteous. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's go to verse 6. Offering to the Lord a sweet-smelling savior, a reasonable and bloodless offering. And in the heaven below this are the angels who bear answers to the angels of the presence of the Lord. And in the heavens next to this are thrones and dominions in which always they offer praise to Yah. When therefore the Most High looks upon us, all of us are shaken. Yea, the heavens and the earth and the abysses are shaken at the presence of his majesty. No man can withstand the presence of the Most High. There's nothing when you think about that on this earth that should cause you to be fearful. We become so afraid of man, Satan, Khazars, what man can do. None of that can compare to the Most High. Verse 10, but the sons of men, having no perception of these things, they sin and provoke the Most High. And that's what happens. We forget what this is all about, where we're living and who we're dealing with, and that Yah is in control. And this is what man spends his whole day, keep you watching movies, television, and propaganda, so that you forget that there's a God sitting on high looking down on us who controls all of this. You're just in the matrix, in the womb. chapter 4. Now therefore know that the Most High shall execute judgment upon the sons of men, because when the rocks are being rent and the sun quenched and the waters dried up and the fire cowering and all creation troubled and the invisible spirits melting away and Hades taketh spoils through the visitations of the Most High, men will be unbelieving and persist in their iniquity. That's the time we're living in now. On this account, with punishment shall they be judged, because they're continuing in sin. Our goal is to not continue in sin and try to live a sinless day, day by day. Take an account of our day at the end of the day. Say, how did I do today? Did I cast down imaginations and thoughts, wicked thoughts and hatred and evil? That's all we can do, is take this walk day by day. Verse 2, the Most High hath heard thy prayer to separate thee from iniquity, and that thou shouldest become to him a son. Levi's prayer to the Most High was, please separate me from sin and iniquity. That's something you should pray right now. God, remove me from iniquity and sin. Help me to be righteous and do right. Please remove me from sin. I want nothing to do with it. In your heart of hearts, do you hate sin? Do you hate sin? Do you have a conscience when it comes to sinning against the Most High and breaking his commandments? Well, it should be your prayer. He also said, and a servant, and make me a minister of his presence. I want to be a minister of your presence. These are things that should be on your conscience every day. Verse 3, the light of knowledge shall thou light up in Jacob, and as the sun shall thou be to all the seed of Israel. And there shall be given to thee a blessing and to all thy seed, until the Most High shall visit all the Gentiles in his tender mercies forever. And therefore, there have been given to thee counsel and understanding, that thou mightest instruct thy sons concerning this. Because they that bless him, the Most High, shall be blessed, and they that curse him shall perish. And thereupon the angel opened to me the gates of heaven, and I saw the holy temple, and upon a throne of glory the Most High. And he said to me, Levi, I have given thee the blessings of the priesthood until I come and sojourn in the midst of Israel. I called your lineage, your tribe, Levi, the third son, to be the one that ministers to all my chosen people, Israel, until he comes to dwell in the midst of Israel. We are Israelites by blood. We are a nation by blood. You may be grafted in. You may be another nation. There will be a remnant of Gentiles. That's what he just said. But he's coming to dwell in Jerusalem on Mount Zion with us, his people, because the gates have the names of all of the 12 tribes. The other nations will dwell in the outer courts outside of Jerusalem. He's only coming to dwell upon those that he has chosen. As we read in 2 Esdras, I believe the 5th chapter of the Apocrypha, he says the other nations are like spittle unto him. I hate to tell you the truth, but it's the truth. I'm sorry that there is a chosen people. You are not of another nation and a believer. You become a believer, you accept Christ, you become baptized, you start keeping the laws and commandments, but that does not make you an Israelite. That's you being grafted in. And you're praying that you're one of the Gentiles that will be accepted, that will be allowed to come into the millennial reign. But he's coming to dwell amongst his people, and he has not appointed his people unto wrath. And this is why his people are being punished right now, because Deuteronomy 28 chapter said that we chose not to keep the commandments. And we wanted to be like you other nations, which is what got us in trouble. We don't have any other nation to blame for our plight and what we're going through. So we should stop begging them to give us money to make our plight better. Our justification comes through Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the one. There's no justice, no peace. The book in the Old Testament, it says he is our habitation of justice. There will be no justice until he is tabernacling among us. What does that mean? Well, you have to understand that the first three high holy days of the year have been fulfilled. The second three have not been fulfilled. The second three is the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, which is a symbol of the final trumpet being blown and Yeshua coming back to dwell amongst us. And then that second of the third feast, that second of the final three feasts is the Day of Atonement. It says that when we see him, we'll weep, we will cry, we will repent for the wrong that we've done, and the whole world will begin to try to atone, but it's going to be too late. And then the last of the final three is the Feast of Tabernacles, which says that he will dwell amongst us, and that's what we're reading now. He said, when I come back, I'm going to dwell amongst you. I'm going to tabernacle with you. If you really study the scriptures, it's been purported that around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles was around the time that our Messiah was born. Not the lie of Christmas in December. No, it was during that time, because that's when the priests would not be doing service in the temple. But that's another lesson for another time. You can learn that if you study the life of John the Baptist's father and mother, Zacharias, who was a priest during the time of John the Baptist's birth, and Mary's cousin, her name escapes me right now, who was John the Baptist's mother, we find. Elizabeth, thank you. And the Bible says they were perfect because they kept the commandments. So we're attesting to that by seeing that, let me read it again. Chapter 4, verse 4, and there shall be given thee a blessing and to all thy seed until the Most High shall visit all the Gentiles in his tender mercies. This is grace and mercy that came through Apostle Paul when he began to minister to the Gentiles, because he did not send the disciples among the Gentiles. He said, go to your people. Verse 5, and therefore there have been given to thee counsel and understanding that thou mightest instruct thy sons concerning this, because they that bless him shall be blessed, and they that curse him shall perish. And thereupon the angel opened to me the gates of heaven, and I saw the holy temple, and upon a throne of glory, the Most High. And he said to me, Levi, I have given thee the blessings of the priesthood until I come and sojourn in the midst of Israel. That's where he's coming to dwell and sojourn. Then the angel brought me down to the earth and gave me a shield and a sword and said to me, execute vengeance on Shechem because of Dinah, thy sister, and I will be with thee because the Lord hath sent me. And I destroyed at that time the sons of Hamor, as it is written in the heavenly tablets. And I said to him, I pray thee, O Lord, tell me thy name that I may call upon thee in a day of tribulation. And he said, I am the angel who interceded for the nation of Israel, that they may not be smitten utterly, for every evil spirit attacks Israel. That's so much was said right there. Let me back up. Hamor, those were the children of Ham. Those were the Hamites. Those were those in Africa that are Nilotes, not Bantus. They were not the Hebrews. They were of Hamitic origin. What happened was the sons of Hamor raped their sister, Dinah. And the Most High gave him permission to go and slay them because they took advantage of her. So he said, go ahead. Judah, Levi, Reuben, they went and slew all of them and killed them because of how they defiled his sister. And he empowered them to be able to do so. What am I trying to say real quick? There are some battles that you have to fight when he tells you it's okay to fight, and he's going to give you strength to fight when it comes to protecting you, yours, you and yours, supernatural strength, you and yours, when it comes to that, not murdering, but defending and protecting. Then that's in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. And then what I want you to see is that not only did he tell them to go and execute vengeance on behalf of their sister for what they had did, you need to know that the Most High don't play with people taking advantage of his women, the daughters of Israel. And you got a lot of brothers that defile the sisters, the daughters of Sarah, that take advantage of them for sexual purposes. And this is what the sons of Hamor did. They raped her. They raped her. They took her innocence, her virginity. A lot of us don't even realize that we've gotten in trouble in our lives because we've taken, let me say it, virginity and innocence of certain young women and didn't betroth them and marry them. That's all a sin. And for all of your sins, there is a price to be paid, which is why you should be repenting on a daily basis. This angel that said, I intercede on behalf of the nation of Israel, that is Michael. Michael is not our Savior. He's the Prince of Israel that is interceding on our behalf. And we see that in Daniel 12 and 1. Let me read that real quick. Daniel 12 and 1. And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. That is who he is. And now let's go back to the book of Levi, and it says, the reason Daniel is working on our behalf and interceding for the nation of Israel, that we will not be totally destroyed. And why is that? Because every evil spirit attacks the children of Israel. You can't make it without Yah and the commandments, because we're being attacked as a people because we're a chosen people. And after these things, Levi came out of his sleep. He woke up and he began to bless the Most High. And the angel who interceded for the nation of Israel and for all the righteous, Michael is not Yesha. He is the angel over the children of Israel, because we're being attacked. It says right here in Levi that Israel is attacked. Every evil spirit. Do you hear that? Every spirit you can think of attacks Israel. But as I said before, we brought this on ourselves according to Deuteronomy 28. We had a choice. And he said in the beginning of Deuteronomy 28, let me read it. He said, I will put you above all nations. All you got to do is keep these commandments. And we chose not to. What we're supposed to be learning in this captivity is to never do it again and repent. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Most High Yah, to observe and to do all his commandments. Nobody can keep all the commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Most High Yah will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee. I don't understand our people. This is why we have to pray for the sins of our forefathers. Who would hear that and then still sin? So you got to have some testicular fortitude to know how to push yourself to do right and to do good. And now he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to press against the wickedness that's in our flesh, the wickedness that we see with our eyes that tries to cause us to lust after temporary satisfactions that are not lasting. That's what's gotten us into this predicament. Let me continue. Chapter six of the Testament of Levi. When I was going to my father, I found a brazen shield, wherefore also the name of the mountain is Aspis, which is near Gabal, to the south of Abila. And I kept these words in my heart. And after this, I counseled my father and Reuben, my brother, to bid the sons of Hamor not to be circumcised, for I was jealous because of the abomination which they had wrought on my sister. And I slew Shechem first, and Simeon, his brother, slew Hamor. And after this, my brothers came and smote the whole city with the edge of the sword. And my father heard these things and was wroth. Jacob was hurt. He was grieved that they killed a whole city of Hamites. And he was grieved in that they had received the circumcision, because what they did was they tricked them into circumcising themselves first. And after they circumcised themselves, they became weak because the men were walking around with sores in their private parts and areas, and they didn't have the ability to even fight back. So they set them up, and this is why Jacob was grieved at his sons. But Levi had already spoke to the Most High and said he was going to permit them to go ahead and do what they did because they defiled Dinah. Verse 7, he said, for we sinned because we had done this thing against their father's will. Such respect sons had for fathers then. And he was sick on that day. But I saw that the sentence of Yah was for evil upon Shechem. So it was permitted by Yah. For they saw, listen, Yah told them to go get them because of this. For they sought to do to Sarah and Rebekah as they had done to Dinah, our sister. They were coming for their mothers next. The Hamites, dirty Hamites, taking women and screwing them and raping them. Excuse my words. They were coming for their mothers next. But the Most High prevented this. He will go before you because he can see what evil men are thinking and doing, and will cause things to happen to them. That's why you must trust in Yah. And they persecuted Abraham, our father, when he was a stranger. They vexed his flocks when they were big with young. And Eblon, who was born in his house, that they must most shamefully handle. And this they did to all strangers, taking away their wives by force, and they banished them. But the wrath of the Most High Yah came upon them to the uttermost. And I said to my father Jacob, by thee will the Lord destroy the Canaanites and will give their land to thee and to thy seed after thee. For from this day forward shall Shechem be called a city of imbeciles. For as a man mocketh a fool, so did we mock them, because also they had wrought folly in Israel by defiling my sister. And we departed and came to Bethel. Let's move on to the next chapter. This had been a practice of the Hamites, Hamer, and the Canaanites to take children of Israel's women, wreak havoc, folly, take their crops. There's a lot to be said about the difference between the Bantus and the Nilotes. Save that for another day. And there again I saw a vision, even as the former, and after we had spent there 70 days. And I saw seven men in white raiment saying unto me, arise, put on the robe of the priesthood, and the crown of righteousness, and the breastplate of understanding, and the garment of truth, and the plate of faith, and the turban of the head, and the ephod of prophecy. And they severally carried these things and put them on me and said unto me, from henceforth become a priest of the Lord, thou and thy seed forever. You know, you got to look at something. Everybody thinks the Levitical priesthood was wiped out, but what they did was they transitioned into the order of Melchizedek and continued as priests. So it does not mean that the Levites are no longer priests. They continue in the priesthood. This book says they were priests forever. So we are under the order of Melchizedek because that was the original intention. That was the original intention when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, for all of us to be in the order of the priesthood. But because of sin, only one tribe was chosen, and we went up under a law. We went up under the laws. And we had to because of our sinful ways. While Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, we built idols, a calf, a golden calf, began to have orgies and party at the base of the mountain, caused Moses to break the Ten Commandments, throw them down, and the people incurred the wrath. The Most High started to just kill all of the children of Israel and create a whole nother nation through Moses. And Moses He repented to Moses that he thought about doing it because of what we did as a people. So we got restored after Yeshua HaMashiach into the original order that the Most High wanted for all of us to be priests. And now we all function in the priesthood. It does not mean that Levi discontinued. He just transitioned into the order of Melchizedek. So he continues his priestly duties. I hope that makes sense to you. It says right here that Levi was going to be a priest forever, his seed forever. A lot of people want to say the tribe of Levi are the Haitians. I don't know about that 12-tribe chart. We do not ascribe to that 12-tribe chart. But I can see the destruction that Haiti has gone through and its people have gone through. And that they also were really given to voodoo and witchcraft and a lot of different practices. And I can see those things happening up under the curse. But I'm not here to try to give any credit to that 12-tribe chart. Verse 4, the first anointed me with holy oil and gave to me the staff of judgment. The second washed me with pure water and fed me with bread and wine, the most holy things, and clad me with the holy and glorious robe. The third clothed me with a linen vestment like an ephod. Let me skip down to verse 16. Therefore, every desirable thing in Israel shall be for thee and for thy seed. What was that about? The tribe of Levi was not given a land or an area to dwell in. They were to be taken care of by the other 11 tribes. It was their responsibility to pay a tithe to the Levitical priesthood and to take care of them as they were to minister to the other 11 tribes and to be the minister of Yah on high and to hear his voice and give the people direction. And they had to learn all the various different types of sacrifices for every sin as a priest. So we no longer offer these sacrifices. We've been delivered from that. We now know that Yeshua HaMashiach was our eternal sacrifice, and he shed his blood once and for all time. Verse 17, and some of them shall be high priests and judges and scribes. That was the responsibility of the priesthood. For by their mouth shall the holy place be guarded. When he came out of this vision, verse 18, he said, I awoke, I understood that this dream was like the first dream. And I hid this also in my heart, and I told it not to any man upon the earth. It's important that we understand that the Most High speaks to us in visions and dreams, and that we do the best we can to try and meditate on some of these visions and dreams, because it's in a dream. The book of Job tells us that he gives us instructions and seals it up at night, gives us direction. Some of us don't even realize that in our dreams we've gone places, seen things, things about a near future. Some of you don't even realize that you might be of the tribe of Levi. You might be of that Levitical priesthood, that you're in that priesthood, even though we're under the order of Melchizedek right now. When we look at chapter 9, we have Isaac giving instruction to Levi. And then when we look at, I'm going to read 10, then we're going to go ahead and close out. I'm not going to read all of the book of Levi. Levi's prophecy concerning his posterity. Now, therefore, observe whatever I command you, children. He's talking to his kids before he's getting ready to pass. For whatsoever things I have heard from my fathers, I have declared unto you. And behold, I am clear from your ungodliness and transgression, which you shall commit in the end of the ages against the Savior of the world, HaMashiach, acting godlessly and deceiving Israel and stirring up against it great evils from Yah. He's telling his kids that your children and all of you are going to backslide and not be in the priesthood, but be deceivers in the last days. We have so many false prophets, false pastors and preachers who are deceiving the people and pushing them into lawlessness. But they felt that they were called to preach, called to teach, but they're preaching for mammon, fame, fortune, misleading Israel, our people. Listen to verse 3. You shall deal lawlessly together with Israel. So he shall not bear with Jerusalem because of your wickedness. But the veil of the temple shall be rent so as not to cover your shame. And you shall be scattered as captives among the Gentiles and shall be for a reproach and for a curse there. For the house which the Lord shall choose shall be called Jerusalem, as is contained in the book of Enoch, the righteous. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. There's plenty more to read. Maybe we'll pick this up next week. The Most High says the same. A couple of key things I wanted you to take away is that Michael is interceding on our behalf because all manner of sin attacks our people, everything you can think of. Also, the takeaway is that there's an angel in the fifth and sixth sphere of heaven that's interceding on behalf of the ignorant that don't understand the importance of keeping the law. And I wanted to point that out because many want to know, well, before the awakening, we were all in the Christian church, and my grandmother and grandfather and mother and father died not knowing this. They went to church on Sundays. They were still eating pork. There was an intercession going on behalf of angels up in the heavens on their behalf because that was another dispensation. The awakening and the truth had been hidden from these people. They weren't told to read the book of Enoch, the Apocrypha. They weren't told how. They didn't have the books of history that showed how Christianity was forced on our people and how we were put into slavery and what brought us there. They just were serving the Most High to the best of their knowledge and ability and trying to be good people, and there were angels interceding on their behalf. So take heart in that particular fashion and know that Levi, and listen, we don't know what tribe we belong to, but Levi continued as priests, but they got off the path. We see where we're leaving off right now. They got off the path and misled Israel. And we have so many false pastors that preach for fame and money that have misled our people and told them they don't have to keep the commandments in the time of keeping the commandments and coming back to the law. So Most High willing, we'll try and continue that next week. I got to go ahead and cut it short today, but I thank you for your time. And know that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat Shalom.